First Chronicles chapter 28 and verse number 6 is where we're going to start. The background here, David is getting close to the end of his ministry, his time serving God and serving his people. He's been saving and collecting things to build the temple. He wanted to build the temple, but God said, no, you're not going to build the temple. Your son can build the temple. And that's where we pick it up. So 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 6, this is David talking, and he's saying what God had said. So if you have a Bible, the service is going to be so much more interesting to you because you can follow along. If you don't have a Bible, you may want to move next to someone who does, because we're going to be looking at a lot of Bible verses tonight. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 6. And he said unto me, God said to David, Solomon thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever. What a promise that is. I want to establish his kingdom, Solomon's kingdom forever. But what's the very next word there? Do you see it? Little bitty word. If. I will establish his kingdom forever if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, this is David talking to all the nation of Israel, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. David is charging the people of Israel, and he's charging his son Solomon. He's giving him a commission. He's giving him a challenge. And in verse number 9, he says this, And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imagination of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. That's such an important statement. The word if thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. David's challenging Solomon. He says, Solomon, listen, I want God to bless you. And God promised that he would bless you if you would live right. If you would seek God, if you would do right, if you seek for God, you're going to find him. But if you forsake him, Solomon, here's what's going to happen. God promised this. Solomon, if you forsake God, God is going to forsake you. God's going to cast you off forever. David tells that to his son Solomon. Now, you know the story about Solomon. Solomon was a very wise man. God gave him the choice. What do you want, Solomon? Choose anything that you want. And what did Solomon choose? We know it's wisdom. He chose wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Solomon was a very wise man, and Solomon was a very good man, a very righteous man for part of his life. In fact, at the beginning of Solomon becoming king, he knew the details of the covenant that God had made with David. Solomon knew, if I obey God, God's going to bless. If I disobey God, God's going to punish me. If I seek God, I'll find God. If I seek God, he'll bless me. But if I forsake God, God's going to forsake me or cast me off forever, as his dad David had told him. Look at 2 Chronicles 6, chapter 6 now. We're going to start going through chronologically. David had charged his son Solomon. He said, Solomon, if you live right, God's going to bless you. If you don't live right, you're going to have to endure the punishment of God. Solomon knew this. He knew the details. He finished building the temple. Does anybody know how long it took to build the temple? How many years? Does anybody know, Dad? I don't think it was that long. I think it was 7. I may be wrong. I think Solomon was 7 years building the temple, and then a few years more than that building his house. After the end of his temple being built, Solomon gathers all the people together, and he prays, and here's his prayer. Listen to this prayer he makes to God. He's talking to God, 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 16. He says, Now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him. We're 2 Chronicles 6, verse 16, saying, There shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit upon the throne of Israel, yet so that thy children take heed to their way to walk in my law as thou hast walked before me. As long as Solomon... as long as there's somebody that's obeying God, and here's Solomon is actually praying this to God. He said, God, this is what my father told me, and that your promise was that there's not going to fail to be a man to sit upon the throne from our family as long as we walk before you. Now, God answers that in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1. This is amazing. I wish I could have been there to see this. This, wow, wow. Elijah up on Mount Carmel, the fire coming down, poof, Could you imagine being there? Wow. But now here we are at the temple. Solomon just built this temple. It's bright and gleaming gold. It's a beautiful, beautiful temple. Nothing like it had ever been built. Nothing like it's ever been built since then. And this beautiful temple, and you've got the altar out there, and it's all set to go. Solomon prays this prayer to God. There's more to it. We didn't read all of his prayer. Chapter 7, verse 1, God answers. Look what happens. Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Can you just imagine that? This beautiful golden temple, when you go through, read all the details of it, it's just an amazing sight to be there. And then the king humbles himself. The king bows down. The king prays to God in front of all the people. And then God sends down fire from heaven and lights the altar on fire, burns up the sacrifice. God accepts the sacrifice that Solomon has offered. And God begins to answer Solomon. Look at verse number 17. We won't read all of it because we don't have time to do that. But verse 17, God is still answering him. And he says this, "And as for thee," this is God talking to Solomon, "if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments." Now, before we go any further, there was a big if right at the beginning of there. "And as for thee, if thou wilt do that." Verse number 18, "Then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be a ruler in Israel." So here God is answering Solomon. He says, "Solomon, yes, I will bless you. Yes, I will make it so that there's always a man from the family of the seed of David sitting on this throne, always a son of David as the king, if you obey." Verse number 19, "But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up," talking about the people of Israel, "by the roots out of my land, which I've given them. And this house, this beautiful temple, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all the nations." Everybody's going to talk about how beautiful this house used to be, but how awful it is now. Solomon is a big if here. If you obey, then I will bless. If you disobey, then I'm not going to bless. And here's the crazy thing about this whole story. Even though Solomon knew the consequences for turning away from God, he turned away from God. I don't understand it. But if put a marker or hold your place there in 1 Chronicles and go to 1 Kings chapter 11. These are the two places we're going to go between Chronicles and Kings. If you read this story, God has appeared to Solomon. God has sent his fire down from heaven. Wouldn't you think that if God answered your prayer, I mean, if you were to go home and say, "God, I really need something," and you go out in the backyard and you bow down and you get on your hands and knees and you pray to heaven, and then a ball of fire comes out of heaven, poof, lands in your backyard, and you're like, "Okay, God answered. There is no doubt in my mind that God answered." You would think that would kind of set your direction for the rest of your life. God answered my prayer. There is no doubt that God answered my prayer. But in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible says this, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonites, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love." Verse 3, "He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart." Verse 4, "For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." Now God had said, "If you will have a perfect heart before me, if you will seek me, I will bless you. But if you don't have a perfect heart before me, if you turn away from me, if you forsake me, then I will cast you out, I will punish you." Verse 5, the Bible says, "For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites." This is so curious, so interesting. The real God has answered Solomon by sending fire down earlier in his life. These other gods haven't done anything. These other gods just came as a package deal with the wives that he got from these places that are hard to pronounce. And these women, they came and they brought their gods with them. So Solomon started worshiping these other gods, Ashtaroth and Milcom. The Bible says in verse number 6 that Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord. It went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Verse 7, "Then Solomon built build, then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrifice unto their gods. God promised Solomon, Solomon, I will bless you if you will obey. If you don't obey, I'm going to have to punish you. Solomon understood that. And then Solomon disobeyed God, and then in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 9, we see that God is angry with him. The Bible says the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him not once, but twice. In verse 10, it had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. So God is angry with Solomon, and in the very next verse, look what happens. Wherefore, the Lord said unto Solomon, forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and give it to thy servant. Solomon, I'm going to tear the kingdom away from you, and I'm going to give it to somebody else, your servant. I'm going to give it to somebody else. Turns out that was Jeroboam that he's talking about. We're going to talk about some interesting names, and we're going to kind of go through this quickly. But here's the scene. We set the scene with Solomon. God has told David, David, I will put a man always from your family to be the king of Israel. David passes that on to Solomon. He says, Solomon, listen, if you'll obey God, God will bless you. If you disobey God, if you turn from God, God's going to punish you. Don't turn away from God because God will cast you out. God will forsake you if you forsake him. Solomon, if you do anything, don't turn away from God. Solomon understood that. Even in his prayer, we saw that. But then Solomon turns away from God. And God punished him. The reason I want you to see this tonight, I want you to see it over and over. We're going to go through kind of quickly. I want you to see it over and over. I want you to realize God will bless righteousness. God will bless right living. God blesses. Now, I'm not talking about a health and prosperity gospel. I'm not saying that if you do right and you get saved that you're going to get rich. All right? There's enough of us here that are saved that can prove that that's not the case. There are people that preach that. There are people that will say, well, if you're not healthy, you must not be right with God. There are people who say that you're not wealthy, you must not be right with God. Now, that is not the case, but we do know this. God blesses when we do right. When we turn our back on God, God brings punishment into our life. And I'm going to show you that. We're going to go fast and furious. We're going to go fast and furious through this, right? We got another man. His name is Rehoboam. You got David, you got Solomon, and you got David's grandson. His name is Rehoboam. There's a lot of Boams in this time period, okay? This is Rehoboam. And the Bible says that he forsook God. Go back to 2 Chronicles. We're going to go quick. This is David's grandson. The Bible says about Rehoboam, he was the king after Solomon was the king. In fact, now listen to this. Rehoboam is the one that I believe Solomon wrote the Proverbs to. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. So now you've got Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, and 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says this, and it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he's the king now, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. Okay, so now you've got Solomon's son. He's got an opportunity to do right. He's got an opportunity to do wrong. And you've got the same choice. You got an opportunity to do right or to do wrong. Solomon does wrong. He forsakes God. That's verse number one. Look at verse number two. And it came to pass that in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. Why? There's a because there. Because they transgressed against the Lord. You see two things. First of all, you see he forsook the Lord. He forsook the law of the Lord. And then Shishak comes up. This king of Egypt comes to attack him because he transgressed against the Lord. God brought punishment. Look at chapter 12, verse 5. Then came Shemaiah the prophet to Rehoboam. Here's the man of God coming to the king and to the princes of Judah that were gathered together to Jerusalem because of Shishak. That's just a cool name. If I'm going to invade another country, I want to be called Shishak. All right, maybe I'm the only one. Better than a pool shed or a pool shack or tool shed. Tool shed. Pool rack? I don't know. Shishak, the king of Egypt. He comes from Egypt. He's going to come fight against Jerusalem. Then came Shemaiah, the prophet, to Rehoboam. This is verse number 5. And to the princes of Judah that were gathered together to Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said unto them, thus saith the Lord. Listen to what God says. Ye have forsaken me, and therefore have I also left you in the hands of Shishak. What happens to Rehoboam? The nation of Israel, the Judah now, we're talking about the southern nation of Judah. What happens to the nation of Judah? They turn their back on God, and God sends this general, this king from Egypt, and they come and they fight against Rehoboam. when Rehoboam humbled himself a little bit later, God lessened the judgment. Look at verse number 12. And when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him, that he would not destroy him altogether, and also in Judah things went well. So that's Rehoboam. You've got David, mostly does right, but God has to punish him when he does wrong. You got Solomon, does right for a while, and then when he turns his back on God, God forsakes him. He lets him finish being the king, but he takes the kingdom away from Rehoboam, his son. Rehoboam forsakes God, and the Bible says God sends Shishak, this king of Egypt, up, and he attacks Rehoboam. Rehoboam has a son, right? Can we go a little bit faster here? You ready to go a little faster? Rehoboam has a son. Rehoboam's son is named Abijah. Abijah is David's great, I think it's his great-grandson. Is that right? Yes, his great-grandson. And the Bible says about Abijah that he was his kingdom was blessed as long as he obeyed God. So look at 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 18. 2 Chronicles 13, 18. Thus the children of Israel were brought under at that time. Now this is Israel is the enemy in this case, all right? Abijah is the king of Judah. Israel's the enemy. Abijah fights against Israel. Israel's brought under at that time. The children of Judah prevailed. They're winning. This is good because they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. Why did Abijah and his nation, Judah, why did they do good? Why did they win? Because the Bible says they relied on God. So Abijah, his nation is blessed as long as he relies on God. But do you still have a place in 1 Kings? If you don't, I can just read it to you. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 3. The Bible says about him, he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. 1 Kings 15, 7, the Bible says, now the rest of the acts of Abijah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And listen to this, and there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. Jeroboam, the king of Israel, the one that took the kingdom away from Solomon. Abijah turns his back on God. The Bible says he does evil. He walks after the sins of his fathers. And the Bible says there's war in the land the entire time that he's king. He's only king, I believe it's only for 3 years. Abijah dies, and he has a son. Now, this one's easy to remember. You can spell the same frontwards and backwards. It's not mom or dad. It's Asa. Asa, now the son of Abijah, and he takes the throne. And when he obeyed God, he received God's blessings. I want you to see that. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 2. The Bible says, and Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves. And commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. This is good. Asa is seeking God. He's helping the nation to come back to God, and God blesses him through that. Chapter 15, verse 1, the Bible says, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. Now listen to this statement. This is one of those ones that I underline in the Bible. You can mark in your Bible. It's just so powerful. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. So we're giving you a little bit of a history lesson here. But here's what I want you to get. The Lord is with you when you're with him. But if you forsake God, he's going to forsake you. God blesses right living. Now, you don't lose your salvation if you sin. That's not what we're talking about here. But God can pull his hand of blessing away from you. You may have been there in your life at times. You may know somebody who's been there in his life. The reason I'm giving you these examples is because it helps us to, instead of me just saying, do right because God will bless you, and if you do wrong, you're going to have to deal with the punishment. Instead of just saying that, when you see these examples, you see these real life stories, you realize that's exactly what happened. As long as Asa was relying on God, God blessed him. As long as Asa was obeying God, God blessed him. But the Bible says that Asa decided to rely on the nation of Syria instead of on God. An enemy was attacking. And the Asa went out. And the Bible says he hired the soldiers from Syria. And he said, would you come help us fight this battle against the enemy? The prophet of God comes to Asa the king. His name was Hanani. He's called a seer at that time. He's a prophet. And here's what he says. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 7. And at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God. Now, there's a because right at the beginning of that. Asa, because you relied on somebody instead of God, here's what's going to happen. Therefore, the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Look at chapter 16, verse 9. The very end of that verse, it says, "Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars." Asa was a good king. For the most part, he did great. But instead of relying on God, he relied on a wicked nation to come help him. And the Bible says, because you didn't rely on God, you're going to have wars. So I'm taking peace away. Asa had a son. This is starting to sound like the book of Chronicles now, is it? Asa had a son. Asa's son was Jehoshaphat. I like Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was a great, I just like saying his name. But Jehoshaphat mostly did, he was a great king. He did right. He helped the people to do right. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, we see that God blessed Jehoshaphat as long as Jehoshaphat did right. 2 Chronicles 17:3, the Bible says, "And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat." Why? "Because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam." Verse 4, "But sought to the Lord God his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel." Verse 5, "Therefore." When there's a therefore, that means there's something in front of it that tells us the reason why this happened. All right, so God blesses Jehoshaphat. And so verse 5, "Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand. And all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor and abundance." So God blessed Jehoshaphat as long as Jehoshaphat did right. But when Jehoshaphat allied himself with a wicked king named Ahab, God rebuked him. How many of you know who Ahab is? Oh, Ahab was a wicked king. We won't go into all the story of Ahab because we got to keep moving here. Jehoshaphat decides, "I'm going to help Ahab. I'm going to be like Ahab's brother. I'm going to help him go to war." In fact, he said, I don't remember the exact words, but "I am as thou art, my people are as thy people," that type of thing. Let's work together. Let's be allies here. And when he did that, God judged him. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 35, you see this story unfolding. "And after this did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. And he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish." I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. That's the Ahaziah. We'll get to that in a minute. 2 Chronicles 19, verse 2. Go back to that in a minute, just for a moment. He allies with Ahab. God sends Hananiah the seer to him. And here's what the prophet says to Jehoshaphat. "Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord." It's not like Jehoshaphat could just do anything he wanted to do because he's the king of Israel and get by with it. He still had to do right. When he did right, God blessed him. When he didn't do right, God warns him. He allies himself with Ahaziah, the king of Israel. And look at chapter 20, verse 37. "Then Eleazar, the son of Dodavah of Merasha, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying," now listen to what the man of God, the preacher comes and he tells Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat is a good king. Jehoshaphat, for the most part, is doing right. But here's what he tells him. "Because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thy works." If you read the story here a little bit, Jehoshaphat had gotten together, the king of Judah had gotten together with Ahaziah, a wicked king from up north. They'd gotten together and they'd built some ships. And they were going to send their ships out and cross the sea to go to these countries where they could get gold, like Solomon had done. But because Jehoshaphat had worked together with this wicked king, the prophet came and said, "God has broken your works," and God somehow destroyed the ships that were being sent across to go find this gold and things. We went to a Titanic museum last week. If you ever get an opportunity to go to a museum like that, it's just an amazing thing. All the stories of all the people that were on the Titanic when it sank, some of them lived, some of them perished. John Harper was one of them. You've heard of him, a preacher that his last breath was spent sharing the gospel with somebody that had gotten saved. He was going to come be the pastor of a church in Chicago, Moody Church in Chicago. Stories like that. Do you remember what was said about the Titanic before it set sail? "This is an unsinkable ship." I don't remember seeing this statement written anywhere, but I heard somebody say it. Somebody had said that not even God could sink this ship. And I don't know if that's actually true or not, but it's likely. That's kind of where Jehoshaphat was. "I'm going to align myself with this wicked king, and then here comes God. Just out of nowhere, we don't know how it happened, but somehow all these ships got sunk and God just destroyed them. God punished him because he decided to work with and be on the same team, ally himself with the wicked king. That's Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat's son is named Jehoram. We're getting real close. Jehoshaphat's son is named Jehoram. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 12. I'll just tell you right away, Jehoram is a wicked king. He's an evil king. Jehoshaphat, he made a friendship with Ahab. Jehoshaphat and Ahab, they're kind of like buddies. Jehoshaphat's son is named Jehoram. Guess who Jehoram marries? Ahab's daughter. Jehoshaphat and Ahab are buddies. They both have kids. Jehoshaphat's kid marries Ahab's kid. Do you know what Ahab's kid's name was? Athaliah. You heard that name before? We'll come back to that here in just a minute. Jehoram marries this woman named Athaliah, Ahab's daughter. Look what happens. Jehoram, 2 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 12. And there came a writing to him from Elijah the prophet, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, Because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat thy father, nor in the ways of Asa king of Judah, but hast walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and hast made Judah and the inhabitants of Israel to go a-whoring like to the whoredoms of the house of Ahab. The Bible often uses that to talk about going after false gods instead of serving the real God. And has also slain thy brethren of thy father's house, which were better than thyself. Behold, look at, because Jehoram, because of all this wickedness that you have done, this is what's going to happen. With a great plague will the Lord smite thy people and thy children and thy wives and thy goods. And thou shalt have great sickness by disease of thy bowels, intestines, the insides, until thy bowels fall out by reason of the sickness day by day. That's just disgusting. The prophet comes to Jehoram and says, Jehoram, because you are so wicked, because of all these wicked, and Jehoram was wicked. If you go back through and you read the story, he killed all of his brothers so that he could be the only king. He killed all of Jehoshaphat's other sons. And he placed himself there. Now, Jehoshaphat had chosen him to be king, but he killed all the other ones to make sure that he was the only one. I think Athaliah had something to do with that. We'll see that here in just a minute. He kills all the other ones. He sets himself up. He starts worshiping Baal. And God sends a prophet to Jehoram and says, Jehoram, because you're so wicked, I'm going to send a plague upon not just you, but upon your family and all the other people in your kingdom. And Jehoram, you're going to die by this disease of your bowels falling out. I can't even imagine that. But a few verses later, we see Jehoram dies because his bowels fall out. I'm not going to go into any more details because that's just really disgusting. But I want you to understand this. God blesses right and God punishes wrong. Whenever it comes to our lives, God blesses righteous living, God punishes wrong living. Jehoram's son is named Ahaziah. We got two more. We're done. Look at chapter 22, verse 3. Ahaziah, chapter 22, verse 3. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. Now let's go back here. Who was Ahaziah's mother? If Jehoram was his father and Jehoram married Athaliah, so that means Athaliah is Ahaziah's mother. We got all that figured out here. Athaliah, this wicked woman, this wicked daughter of Ahab, and who was Ahab's wife? Jezebel. Athaliah, the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, is Ahaziah's mom. Now, chapter 22, verse 3. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. Wherefore he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. So King Ahab had this daughter named Athaliah. Jehoshaphat's son Jehoram married Athaliah. I think she's likely the reason Jehoram killed all of his brothers. Athaliah is King Ahaziah's mother. Ahaziah is king for 1 year. During that 1 year, he gets counsel from his wicked mother and from the house of Ahab. A man named Jehu is sent by God to punish Ahab and his family, and also kills Ahaziah. How many of you heard of Jehu? How many of you have ever been told you drive like Jehu, right? The Bible says that Jehu drove furiously. Jehu comes in, he kills, 2 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 9, and he sought Ahaziah, and they caught him, for he was hid in Samaria, and brought him to Jehu, and when they had slain him, they buried him. What happens here? Ahaziah, a wicked man, walks after the house of Ahab. He kills wasn't Ahaziah that did that. You'll see something else that happens with him. Ahaziah, the son now of Jehoram, and he takes counsel from his mother, Athaliah, the wicked man. He's a king for a year. Jehu kills him. Ahaziah has a son. In fact, he has lots of sons. One of them is named Joash. How many of you remember Joash? You've listened very well tonight. This has been a different kind of a message. It's almost like a lecture type of a message. It's kind of like going through. You've listened well. Joash, let me give you a little bit of backstory on him. Athaliah is the queen mother, if you want to say it that way. She's the mom of the king, which gives her special privileges, all right? She's the one who'd marry Jehoram. Jehoram killed all of his brothers. Athaliah is still in the picture. Ahaziah goes to his mom, asks her for advice. She gives him wicked and evil advice. There's another lady in the kingdom, though. Her name is Jehoshabeth. I think it's how you say it. It's kind of like Jehoshaphat, but Jehoshabeth. She saved one of the king's sons from being killed. Jehoshabeth, this lady, she finds Joash and she takes him and she hides him. Joash is just a little baby. She finds Joash, takes him and hides him in a bedchamber, hides him so that the evil queen can't find him. Joash hides there for 7 years. Let me tell you a little bit about this lady. She's actually awesome. She's a great lady. But it's crazy because she's the daughter of the wicked king Jehoram. She's also the sister of the wicked king Ahaziah. This is Jehoshabeth. Have you ever heard of Jehoshabeth before? I'd never heard of her before, so I was just studying this recently. The daughter of Jehoram, the sister of Ahaziah, but listen to this. She's the wife of the priest named Jehoiada. Jehoiada's wife, Jehoshabeth, turns out to be the one who grabs Joash, takes him into this bedchamber, hides him there for 7 years, and saves his life. Jehoiada is the priest who comes along a little bit later. If we don't have time to read it, I wish we could. He comes along. Jehoiada is the priest. He sees that his wife tells him, I saved this baby that's could be the next king. He's been hiding there for 7 years. Jehoiada takes Joash, puts the crown on his head, makes him the king, goes out and kills Athaliah, this wicked woman. Let me tell you something else Athaliah did. Not only was she, I believe, instrumental in killing Jehoram's children, but she's also instrumental in killing all of Ahaziah's children. She's killed a lot of people. She gets executed by Jehoiada, this awesome priest. Jehoiada is well past his prime now. Jehoiada lives to be about 130 years old before he dies. He's an older man. He's the priest, and he helps Joash to be put into position here. Joash is 7 years old. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 2. I love the story of a kid being made the king because he's so innocent. In this case, Joash does right. He's a good king. The Bible says, chapter 24, verse 2, and Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. That is awesome. He's a good king. God blesses him. He does right, he has peace, he helps to rebuild the temple, fixes the temple. But here's the thing, the Bible says he does right all the days of Jehoiada. Chapter 24, verse 17, this is a king who has done right, a king who was a king since he was a child, a king who was spared destruction from those who wanted to kill him. But look at verse 24. Now after the death of Jehoiada, that was the priest, came the princes of Judah, and made obeisance to the king, or they're worshiping the king, they're flattering the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. Look what happens in verse 18. And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. Joash was a good king. They worshiped God. But when Jehoiada dies, the princes come and say, we really need to do this. We really need to do this. Look what all the other nations around us are doing. Look at what your grandfather did. We probably should do it kind of like they did. Look what Ahab used to do. And somehow they talk Joash into going back to that. And then they serve these groves and these false gods, these idols. Look what happens. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Joash did right as long as he had a good mentor. As long as Jehoiada was in his life. But Jehoiada dies. Joash turns away from God. Look at verse number 18. Oh, I'm sorry, I read that already. Look at verse number 20. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest. Which Jehoiada is the one that saved Joash's life, basically. Jehoiada's wife. They saved Joash's life. Now Jehoiada is gone. His son Zechariah is now the priest in his place. The Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people and said unto them, here's the priest. And he's come to Joash because Joash is doing wrong now. Thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord. What's this say? He hath also forsaken you. A good king. Good king. And it's Joash. He loves God. He helps to rebuild the temple of God. But he turns away from God. And because he turns away from God, God says, because you've forsaken the Lord, he's also forsaken you. Verse 21, they conspired against him. Who's him? Talking about Zechariah. And stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king. Joash turns from God, commands Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the man who'd saved his life. He commands him to be stoned. He kills him. Look at verse 24. You have to fill in the gaps later by reading it because we don't have time to do all that. But look at verse 24. Just a few verses later, for the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men. And the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. He was a good king who decided to turn away from God. When he turned away from God, God turned away from him. And then the Syrians come down, just a small army, a small group of men, this small army, they come down, and the small army defeats Joash's large army. We see a little bit later that he's wounded here. A little bit later, two of his servants sneak in and assassinate Joash in his own bed. And the story goes on and on and on and on with the next line of kings all the way through until Nebuchadnezzar comes in and takes them captive to Babylon. Now, why do we take the time? Here's what I want you to understand. It's so simple. God blesses right living. God will bless you when you do right. God brings peace into your family when you do right. We see so many of these kings, they turn away from God and God brings war. They turn away from God and God brings sickness. What's he trying to do? Sometimes he's trying to turn them back to him. Sometimes it's just, you forsook me, so I'm going to forsake you. I'm going to remove my hand of blessing from you. God blesses right living. God punishes wrong living. And that's the whole message tonight. Father, I pray that you would use this, a lot of illustrations and a lot of stories, but a very simple truth. Help us to understand that you do bless right living. And it does matter how we live. If we live for you, you've shown over and over and over that you'll bless that. If we turn our back on you, we forsake you. You've shown over and over and over that you will turn your back on us. You'll forsake us, not in losing our salvation, but in the blessings. Lord, I pray that you'd help every person here this evening to make a decision that they will do their very best to live for you, to do right. Lord, I hope that this message would motivate every single one of us to do right.